Galatians chapter 4, we're going to do the whole chapter this morning. One of the tragedies of legalism is that it gives the appearance of spiritual maturity when it actually leads the believer into immaturity. The law enables us to measure maturity by what we do, but it doesn't measure what's going on in the heart. 1 Galatians chapter 4. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He continues his thought that was in the last chapter that we covered last week. The question here is, what makes you a son? Remember, son, daughter, adult children is the main thing to understand here. What makes you a son? The first thing here is a child doesn't have all the freedom of an adult. In that same way, Paul's saying, the child is not that much different from a slave. He can't make his own choices. Somebody else is ruling over him. You can't decide if and when you're going to get your driver's license or any other thing in your life. You're no different than a slave. You don't have those freedoms as long as you're still a child. But when you become an adult, you have the ability to make those choices on your own. He says here also that Christ redeemed us, and he's speaking of redemption from slavery to the law, that we're no longer slaves to the law. We're now adopted. We have those full rights as sons that we talked about last week as well. The Christian then, who has been adopted, who has received the adult status, and then returns to the law, it's like a slave. You've been set free. I mean, the slave, he knows what it's like to be a slave. He gets his freedom. He goes out and he says, oh man, being free is, it's just too hard. I want to be a slave again. And so he goes back and sells himself into slavery. It's just too hard. He has to make decisions on his own. And he finds it's just easier to live life that way, having someone else tell him what to do. That's what legalism is. Legalism is having someone else tell you what to do. Here's all the things you can do. Here's all the things you can't do. Do these things. But it's different when you live under the gospel. The gospel teaches you what? What is the one thing that's required of you under the law, under the gospel?
That you love like God does, like Christ.
Sacrificial love for the benefit of others. That's right. We love as Christ did. But you got to think, right? You got to figure out what that means. Day to day, hour to hour, in any different situation, in each relationship, you have to be thinking, to be thoughtful of the other person. So much more difficult in that sense than legalism. Legalism, you did it, forget about everybody else around you. Legalism doesn't have to be relational at all. He says here, we're sons and heirs. In the story of the prodigal son, you remember the prodigal, he goes off, spends all the money, being a prodigal is all about. And then he returns home, but what does he come when he comes home, what does he want? What's his plan? To return as a servant. He doesn't come back saying, oh, well, I'll be a son again. He says, I'll go back and just ask to be a servant in my father's house. That was his plan. He wanted to be received back as a servant, not as a son. That is what the Galatians were doing. That is exactly what they were doing. They were sons, but they were saying, oh, God, just treat us like servants. That's what you do when you try to come to God by law and by legalism. You're asking God to only treat you as a slave, a servant, not as a child, not as a son. And the Father won't accept this that way. He says, no, you come on my terms. You come as a child of mine. You come in my likeness. That's what I want you to do. We're heirs of the Father. We've received the Spirit. He intends us to come to Him in that kind of relationship. We no longer live under the law, but by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides us in that relationship, into that likeness of our Father. Likeness is all about, and this is what 1 John is all about, we're coming to the likeness of God. You are sons of God. That is what you are, because you're like Him. Well, in what way are we to be like Him? What does it mean to be like someone? To share their value system is exactly what likeness is all about. That is what the Holy Spirit does within us. He changes our value system from the inside. The law is just just something external. It just looks good on the outside, but doesn't require any change. The law only demonstrates that you're a servant, that you can obey the law like a slave. Sacrificial love is something that demonstrates you have changed, that you are a child of God, a son of God. Verses 8 to 11. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. So if the first section is the question, what makes you the son, the second paragraph asks the question, what makes you a slave? What is the thing that makes you a slave? And the first thing he lists here, you believe lies about God and gods. That's what you do. The slave believes lies about gods and God. The principles that he mentions here, these elementary principles, he mentioned it also in verse 3. The elemental spirits, demonic gods. You know, it begins with the concept of elements, and there's many different ways people, you know, try to interpret what this means. It's difficult. But it seems like the concept of the base elements, then the theories in the pagan world that this included the planets, and then various gods associated with the different planets. And those are the things that advanced your calendar. Therefore, you celebrated your seasons and days and years based upon those things. So here, the bondage that he's speaking about is bondage to the law. If you follow the Jewish law and the calendar and all the special days and that, he's making a connection between that and the pagan gods and the worship of them in their calendars. Neither one gives you freedom. Neither one makes you a son of God. These are not the things that make you a child of God. It's still bondage. Whether it's Jewish bondage or it's pagan bondage, it's still bondage. And so what he's saying, the Galatians, who were not Jewish in background, but Gentile, pagan, they started out in bondage to demons. That's what they worshipped before they came to Christ. And now they were moving to another form of bondage, the bondage of the law, which wouldn't save them either. They were just shifting from one kind to another. So he says they're ignorant. They were ignorant before they knew Christ, but they came to know the truth about who God was, and they came to be known by God as well. They came to know the truth, but they turned away from it. When you turn to anything but Christ, you're turning to error. Anything but the gospel is error. Every time, 100% of the time, you turn away from Christ and the gospel, no matter what it is, you're going to find error out there. So, going along with that, every step away from Christ is a step toward ignorance. Ignorance. A loss of a knowledge of God. Every step toward legalism away from Christ is a step toward ignorance. You don't gain anything. You're not making yourself a better Christian by adopting legalism into your life. You're making yourself more ignorant on the true nature and character of who God is. It's a turning from strength to weakness, a moving from reality to non-reality, coming to a place of not knowing God. That's what they were at before. They didn't know God. They didn't have relationship with Him. That's what knowing is all about. It's a relational term. You're either moving toward God in likeness or you're moving away from Him in likeness. You either love more sacrificially or you live more for self. That is how you determine whether you're becoming more like Christ. Do you in your heart and in your life see and recognize yourself becoming more sacrificial in your love for others? Or do you see yourself loving yourself more and doing things more to self? Guess where you're headed. That is the only way you determine spiritual life. Your knowledge of God. And so he says here that the law is deadly. The law is not deadly because it's evil, because that's not the problem with the law. It's better to do the law than to be completely lawless. Don't get me wrong there. The law isn't bad in that way. But Satan can distort the law and make it into a system that is similar to the demonic paganism that the Galatians left in the first place. The more one tries to use the law for salvation, the more bondage it produces for your life. The more confused about God you become. The more you believe that you're doing what's right when in fact you're not being like God at all. You're reflecting His image, but you're not becoming transformed into His image. The Jewish observances, then, he says, are just as deadly as any pagan system. because they keep you from Christ. They keep you from the true knowledge of who God is. Let's look at verse 12 now. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of the blessing you felt? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have you then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, these false teachers, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you make much of them. It's always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. So the question in this section is, what kind of love do you possess? What kind of love do you possess? Believing love? This is the first thing, believing love. What was the first reaction when Paul comes to the Galatians at the beginning? He comes to them, preaches the gospel to them, they receive it. What were they like? Who were they like? What kind of love did they have? Sacrificial love. They would have gouged out their eyes and given them to him, he said. We don't know if that has something to do with the ailment that he had, and if it was something to do with his eyes, or if it's just a way of demonstrating that which is most precious, your eyesight. But the Galatians believed the gospel. They received it. They were transformed by it. They accepted the part they needed to believe, and they did the part they needed to do. They were showing great love for Paul. That was natural for them to do that. Why was it natural for them to have that kind of love for Paul? They were following the gospel, and they had got a value system, and they were being transformed by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit working in them. That's why he says in the previous chapter, when you began with the Spirit, you think you're going to be able to finish with law? Their love for Paul was demonstrating by not rejecting him. They wanted to help him in the midst of his trial. And specifically, they weren't rejecting him because of whatever this condition was that he had. Because they could look at that condition and say, why should we believe you? Look and shoo, God's not on your side, you're sick. But they believed the gospel, they accepted the message. And it didn't matter what was going on in him physically. They didn't look at it as some judgment of God against him. They believed the gospel, they were transformed by the gospel. That is what they were like at the beginning. That's what he's asking them to remember and look at. But what were they like now? Now they had legalistic rejection of Paul. What was this false teaching, this teaching of the law, what was it producing in them? It was producing in them a manner of looking at Paul as the enemy. They loved him at the beginning when he brought them gospel, but now that they were immersing themselves in legalism, they were treating Paul as the enemy. The false teachers and their false teaching was dividing the Galatians against Paul. But Paul says, I never stopped loving you, so what was the problem? The problem's in you. The problem's in the teaching that you received. The teaching that you receive is not producing love in you. It's not helping your relationships. It's destructive. Legalism brings division and conflict. Legalism calls the true gospel a lie. That's very important to understand. Legalism looks at the gospel and says it's wrong. It divides people away from the true gospel. The true gospel brings unity among Christians, but false teaching brings error and division. It says you have to do this. You have to experience this particular thing in order to be saved. It divides the body of Christ. It creates suspicion and arguments over traditions and interpretations and every other thing added to the gospel. And that's another way you can determine false teaching. They had a need, again, verse 19, to have Christ formed in them. To have Christ formed in you is another way of saying to become Christ-like, isn't it? Same thing. Christ-likeness is not formed through obedience to the law, but by the Spirit, through faith and grace. He's covered this, through sacrificial love. That's the transformation that has to occur. The law and legalism will never produce that in you. That's why they should have been able to see for themselves what was happening in them through the teaching of the false teachers. You need to be able to look at your life and evaluate it according to what thing? The gospel. What is the thing in your life you need to be able to evaluate in order to determine your spiritual health? Are you loving like Christ? Do you have sacrificial love? How is it? Are you progressing in it? Or are you going away from God in it? That is the way you can look at yourself and to determine if you are like Christ. Does your life look more like Jesus dying on the cross or more like you living for yourself? That's very important. That is how you determine whether or not you're growing in your likeness to God. You cannot measure it by the list of the things you're not doing and the list of the things you are doing. That's legalism, and you will make mistakes. Those lists will be produced by your own sinful desires, and you will create these nice little lists that can make you feel spiritual when in fact you aren't. So Paul is saying to the Galatians, you're doing all these things on the outside that look good and sound religious, but in reality they're not producing love in you. They're producing conflict and division in you. They should have been able to see it because they moved from love to law. So Christ is to be formed in them all over again. All over again. They had to start over because they turned away from what was important. Then in the last section, verses 21 to 31, the question is, what kind of child of Abraham are you? Because there's more than one kind. Remember we talked about this earlier, the child of Abraham. He has the what of Abraham? The faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Let's look at this. Verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. And again, he brings up this concept of Abraham again. We talked about this before. Because this is what the false teachers were bringing up. They were wanting to say, well, to be a true child of Abraham, you must be circumcised and you have to do all these other things. Paul said, no! Paul says, let me illustrate. Abraham had more than one kind of son. He had a son by the free woman and a son by the slave woman. Verse 23. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. So obviously he's talking about Judaism. Now, to link Judaism and the law of Moses with the child of Hagar, Ishmael, would be so counterintuitive, but that's what he's doing. Because they never would accept that idea. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. That particular quotation comes from the Old Testament, speaking of the Jews before and after the Babylonian captivity. Before the captivity, they had a husband, but when they went into exile, they didn't have a husband. But when they would return, that's when they would have more true believers. And Paul is applying that to Christianity. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. So just as there was Ishmael persecuted Isaac, the believers in Judaism, the particular aspect of Judaizers and Christianity, were coming to bother the believing Christians. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. So again, the importance of Abraham. He's important because the false teachers were using Abraham as their example. But he wants to show that Abraham has how many kinds of children? two kinds, and they are fundamentally different. Abraham's son Ishmael was born of the slave woman Hagar. He's born in the natural way, the ordinary way, and therefore figuratively represents Mount Sinai. And anyone who follows Mount Sinai, the law of Moses, is a slave. That's what he's saying. Jerusalem is in slavery. Abraham was trying to make things happen when Ishmael was born. He was trying to make things happen in his own way, according to the flesh, according to the ideas of people, according to natural ability. That is what living by law is like. You're trying to please God according to your own ability, and you will always fail. But Abraham's other son, Isaac, was born of the free woman, Sarah. Born in a supernatural way, born according to the promise of God and by the power of God. And figuratively represents everyone born of God. As John says in John chapter 1, these are the free children. Abraham allowed God to fulfill the impossible by supernatural means. You are born supernaturally by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. So the prophecy, again, from Isaiah 54:1, is talking about Jerusalem's restoration following the Babylonian exile. It involves the thought that the blessing of the latter years will be greater than the blessings of the former times. The blessing under the new covenant is far superior than any blessing that ever happened under the old covenant. And Paul is suggesting that soon the numbers of the Christians will overtake the numbers of those in Judaism, of which he was correct. So the application here he wants to make is the question is not who is your father, but who is your mother. That's the difference here. Before, the question is, are you a child of Abraham? And now he moves it. Yes, you're a child of Abraham, but which child? A child born of the free woman or a child born of the slave woman? That is how he changes things now. Who is your mother? If your mother is Hagar, then you were born purely of human means. You're still a slave. But if Sarah is your mother, then the birth was of a promise and you're free. Just as Isaac was persecuted, so also is the church. And the persecution was coming through the half-brothers. The Jews were persecuting the Christians, not the Gentiles. The Pharisees were the ones who opposed Jesus. And Paul's opponents in many of the churches were the legalistic Christians, the Judaizing Christians, those halfway in the gospel and halfway in Judaism. Think about all the opponents throughout history in Christianity. Where is so much in the opposition in Christianity come through the centuries? Through false teaching in the church. Through legalism in the church. Most of the problems in the church have not been from outsiders. Most of the problems in the church has been different parts of Christianity fighting over things. Why? Because they got the gospel wrong. Every time some part of the church gets the gospel wrong, they start fighting with every other part of the church. Happens all the time. And the only solution is to get rid of slavery out of your life. Get rid of the slave woman and her child. Take action against man-made religion. Turn to God-made religion. The Jews would have taken Genesis 21:10 to show the rejection of the Gentiles. They would have said, get rid of Ishmael, get rid of Hagar. Jews would interpret that as get rid of the Gentiles. Paul is saying, no, that means get rid of the unbelieving Jews from Christianity. You can't have law and grace when you come before God. They're opposed to each other. You can have one or the other. One casts the other out. If you turn to law, if you learn to turn to slavery, you are casting out the free woman and her son. You're casting out Isaac and the promise. You're casting out Christ. Those who are slaves do not share in the inheritance. If you choose to live in slavery to the law, you cannot receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. You cannot receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That is your inheritance. The inheritance comes to transform you on the inside. But if you choose to reject the Spirit and the promise and receive law, you will receive no help from God. You will have to do it under your own power. So the point here is that sonship comes through being like the Son. That's how it comes. You want to be like God, you must be like Christ. Legalism is not God's intended way for anyone to come to Him or live before Him. Legalism produces conflict and rejection and separation. It produces all these negative things. Love does not. Love produces the opposite. It produces relationship and acceptance and unity, both with God and with everyone else in the church. Those are the choices that we have. Remember, it's not just who your father is, don't make that mistake, but also who your mother is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've given us a great promise. You've given us your Holy Spirit to transform us. Help us to be tuned into the gospel so that we are always evaluating our lives according to whether or not Christ's likeness is being produced in us, so that we are aware of things that are our traditions, our interpretations, things that we think are part of the gospel but really aren't, so that we can guard against those disruptive things in our lives, that we might have good relationship with you and with other believers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.